Thank you. God bless you. I just want to tell you, each and every one of you that are here today, from me, thank you for being faithful in this church. Thank you. I'm going to tell you what, when the chips are down, you're going to find out who's faithful. When things seem to be going wrong in every direction, you're going to find out who's faithful. And I want to thank each and every one of you men, women, boys, and girls for your faithfulness to this church and to the pastor of this church. Because I'm going to tell you what, I love your pastor, Brother Glenn. I just love him. He's an awesome man of God. And I love hearing him preach. I've told y'all that before. I don't get to hear him that often, but I was hoping I was going to hear him today. But we'll see what the Lord will do. Amen. You know, we pray in that prayer of faith. You know, James told us over there, and I think it's James 5. He said we pray in that prayer of faith. We invite the elders of the church to come, and we anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save them. The prayer of faith shall heal them. And you know, I pray that way every morning for a pastor. I got about 100 pastors and churches that I pray for almost every morning and call them out by name in church. Of course, you know, I travel all over the place. So I know a whole bunch of folks in about 5 counties. And but he's near and dear to my heart. I think I've known him probably longer than I've known any of the rest of them. Every one of them are dear to me, though, because I'm going to tell you what, the shepherd of every flock is precious. Amen. They are precious, you know. That was a scripture that I was looking on this morning, early, while it was raining and thundering. Psalms 63:8. Oh, King David, you know, he knew how to have great fellowship with God. He was a faithful follower of God. Though, you know, old King David, he messed up. He done a lot of things messing up. But he was still a man that was after God's own heart. He was a faithful follower. And he was quick to admit, you know, when it was in his face, he admitted, hey, I've done wrong. You know, it takes a real man or woman to be able to do that and then change. And that's what all of the Word of God should be doing for each and every one of us, is changing us from the inside out. And what takes place on the inside of us is going to come out of us. The abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks, those things that change in our spirit, those things that change about our lives, it shows other people who we are. And we need to maintain those changes. Don't let them slip aside. Don't let them fall away. Because I'm going to tell you what, this world needs somebody that they can look to. Because they don't know to look to Jesus. And they're going to look to you to see Jesus before they're ever going to look to him. And that's the truth. That's the truth. They judge Jesus by what you do. Sometimes that's a terrible thing. It really is. But as we follow him, we become more like him. And then we can truly show them who he is. You know, all those things that we do as followers of the Most High God. But O King David, in Psalm 63:8, he had great fellowship with God when he told him, my soul follows hard after thee. Now, the New King James says, when my soul follows close behind you. See, if you're following behind somebody, you are a follower. If you're walking in his steps, you are a follower. You know, there's leaders and there's followers. But I can truthfully tell you that every leader is a follower. Because we are all following someone or something. And as Christians, As born-again believers, we are followers of the Most High God. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one of us. Now, there are leaders in this church, very necessary. There's things that y'all do that are the glue that holds things together and keeps things running and keeps things in order. And I got to truthfully tell you that you guys got pastors back, okay? Everybody needs a bodyguard. They need a gatekeeper. They need someone who has their back. Every pastor needs either someone or a group of someones that will do that for him. Because, you know, pastor is just one man. He can't see everything or do everything. That's why he's got to have good people in his church. And that's why my hat's off to each and every one of you. I appreciate you. I come from a church that's like that, where many good people in the church that have pastors back. And they understood that, and they still understand that. And so he had great fellowship, and he said that my soul follows hard after thee. In other words, my soul follows close behind you. And Oshin over in Psalms 119, 165, he says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Great peace. You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, we should have that peace that passes all understanding. We ought to have a peace within us that is unshakable. It ought to be to the point where nothing that happens makes us turn aside or turn astray or go back. You know, the writer in Hebrews over in Hebrews 10:38, he says, don't go back. Because God takes no pleasure in those who turn around. He takes no pleasure in them. You read it in there. It goes on to talk about willful sin. It talks about a lot of things over in the book of Hebrews. But that's not where we're going today. But being followers of the Most High God, you got to know who they are, who He is. Just like if you're going to follow someone in this church, because maybe they understand things a little more than you do. And so you're looking to them for that understanding. But we all look to the Word of God for that greater understanding. Now, there are some, you know, it's like I tell people, you know, when I got saved, I could tell you the stories in the Old Testament. I could tell you about the Bible. But I did not know Jesus as my Savior as a kid. I learned all these other things that were written down on some pages in a little black book. But I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. Because you know why? I didn't have nobody I was following that ever told me about Jesus being my Savior. You know, that's a shame that it happened that way. But I'm going to tell you what. Once I got a hold of that, look out. Because I took off after that. I got a hold of something that was better than anything that I had ever gotten a hold of in my whole life at the age of 38. I'd never had anything like that happen to me. It was better than anything I've ever done or ever been a part of. And some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe all of y'all in here were saved from birth. I don't know. But I definitely was not. I definitely was not. So I know the other side. I know all the other side. But as followers of the Most High God, we have the rule book right here. We have the pathway. We have the light. We have all of these things. And y'all have heard me say it before. If you get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into you, you'll be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will not turn around. You will not go back. You know, we ask the Lord to open the eyes of our understanding, open the ears of our spirit, that we might see what He is doing and we might hear what He is saying. Let your spirit be quickened to where when the Lord whispers, when He speaks, that you are quick to hear. And then even quicker, to obey. See, There is so much more to it, and we definitely don't have time today. So I'm going to hit some highlights if I can get through all this 20 pages of notes here. No, not really. I'm just kidding. You know, there's leaders and followers, but the ultimate leader is Jesus Christ, is he not? Leaders and followers. Everybody agrees with that. You know, everybody going to follow somebody. But I can tell you that every leader is a follower of someone or something. You see, many years ago, when I was about 15, 16 years old, on a construction crew, they had a rule on that crew. If you couldn't get it, you couldn't stay. They would tell me, said, we don't allow no standing around on the job. You're either leading, you're following, or get off the job. Plain, real plain. You're either going to lead in what's doing, or you're going to follow in what's being done, but you ain't going to stand around. Can I tell you that that's how it is in the kingdom of God? God wants us to do something with what he has given us. He wants us to do something with our salvation. Salvation ain't to sit on a pew. Just the same as salvation is not a license to sin. You see? And it's not. It's just the beginning of a new way of life that leads to eternal life. It's a new way of living. You know, I had a whole brand new world open up to me when I got saved. I had no idea what it was to live as a Christian. I watched my godly wife do it. But, you know, I just kind of stood off from all of that. That wasn't part of what I was into. Till one day. One day. You know, when he gets your attention, it's undeniable. It was undeniable for me. I could never go back after I met him. I mean, he came to me in such a sweet, awesome, you might say terrifying way that I never forgot it. I tell people all the time, use your witness. That shows that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you use your witness as to what he did in your heart and in your life, you know, none of y'all probably got saved as I got saved, but I didn't get saved like you got saved either. See, I don't have your experience and you don't have mine. But you see, our experience with God is the greatest testimony that you will ever have. How he came into your heart and changed you, saved you, put you on the right path. Man, that, you know, that just don't happen unless God draws you. That's what Scripture says. Lest he draws you, you will not come. So I'm going to tell you what. At any point during any of the services that I preach, you can come to these altars. You ain't going to bother me one bit. I'll get down there and cry with you. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's no greater thing that will ever happen in your life, and that is to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then get up from that altar and start following after him. Following after him. That's the most important thing that you will ever do. Out of all the important things, that is the most important. Because you see, you're not going to live here forever. The only place to live forever is in eternity in heaven. But they also die forever in hell. See, it's still eternal. I want to be on the living part. I don't know about y'all. I want to be on that dying part. That's what I read in the Word of God scares me to death. You know, it ought to shake everyone as a believer to never go back, never turn around. You see, we got to be steadfast with our faith. Now, they would tell me, either lead, follow, or get off the job. Well, needless to say, I already knew how to lead and follow, so I led and followed. I didn't get off the job. I needed the money. You know, I stayed. And that's been 60 years ago. So, the best example of a good leader is when he sets the example of what to do and what not to do. Think about it. You see, it's as important to know what to do as it is know what not to do. Can I tell you that this is your good example of what to do and what not to do? If you'll follow this, it'll tell you everything you need to be doing and everything you don't need to be doing. Everything that's going to hurt you, not help you. Each and every day. So the best example of that good leader is when he sets the example of what to do or not to do for everyone to see every time you see him. They are steadfast. They are committed. They don't turn around. They don't shrink back from anything. The Apostle Paul tells us, told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In other words, follow me as I follow Jesus. See, pastor is the leader of this church. He is the leader, regardless whether he's here or not. He is still the leader. He's still the leader. I come under subjection to him. I don't take it lightly that he asked me to come stand behind his sacred desk. I don't. That to me is a very sacred thing. But he is your leader. But you know something? He can't lead you unless he's following Jesus. And you're going to know if he's following Jesus or not. And the way that you know it is you know this book. You understand this book. And you're looking for those things that will speak to your heart, that will only enhance your walk with him, and you'll make a difference and an impact upon other people's lives. You see, following Jesus is everything. It's everything. Nothing more important, following Jesus. So, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 11, he said he wanted them to know that Christ is the head of every man. Now, you can use that as man, woman, boy, and girl, any way you want to, but Christ is the head of everyone. Everyone. He is the one that we look to. Every time, every day, in every way, we look to him. So you see, everything Christ wanted us to do, he led by example, did he not? There's all kinds of examples in here, and we're just going to pick on a few, because we'd be here till Sunday next week if I went through all of them. You see, he wanted us to do those things, and he led us by example. He not only told us what to do, but he showed us what to do. He showed us through his word. He was good at painting pictures about things. You know, and back in the day, you know, there was lots of farmers, and they understood things about farming and construction work and different kinds of things. So he painted those pictures so that the people would understand what in the world he was talking about. He was good at an explanation. Now, he hid a few things from their eyes, you know, that people were blinded to the fact. But he always showed them after he told them. He always showed them after he told them. 1 Peter 2 and 21, Peter said, for this you were called. I love that. For this you were called. You being all of us. Okay? That includes everybody. For this you were called. Fingers pointing at me, fingers are pointing. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. The supreme example of a leader, Jesus Christ. You see, if you follow him hook, line, and sinker, you'll never go wrong. Never. Never. Jesus will not steer you wrong. He might steer you into some dangerous stuff, or so you think, but he's always right there with you. He's always right there for you. Remember, he's got you back when no one else will. He's the one looking out after your best interest when no one else will. He's always there. He is that prime example. So follow, and then it says that you should follow in, leaving us an example that you should follow in his step. Everything he said and did was an example for all of us to do something with. You know, we preached on faith here last week or week before, whatever it was. But you know, faith is an active thing. It's not a passive thing. You know, he said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. And what I do will show you my faith. Well, it's active. Following Jesus is active. It ain't sitting. It's not, well, I'm waiting on Jesus. You're doing the wrong waiting. waiting in the Word of God means you're doing something with your time, and He's directing you. I'm just waiting on Him to tell me the next thing to do while I'm doing what He already told me. You know, because He tells us a lot of things to do in the Word of God. So if we just continue doing what He asks us to do, we'll always be in His will. I haven't found a time when He said any different in the Word of God. I never found anything that says any different. So we got to keep going. And then there was an example that He set of urgency. You know, it talks about His ministry being 3.5 years. You know, 3.5 years, short time? That's really short. Some of us are a little bit older in here, you know, in the 70 club, maybe the 80 club. But 3.5 years, short time. It seems like just the other day I was still living in Porter, and that's been 14 years ago. You know, I mean, 3.5 years is a short while, very short while. So there's an urgency to get it done. You know, even as a young boy in the temple, when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus, and they were going to do their sacrifice, okay? And then they left town thinking Jesus was with the clan, and all of a sudden they turned around, they couldn't find Him. Where is that boy? They looked 3 days for Him before He found Him. And what did He tell them? What are you worried about? Did you not know that I need to be about my Father's business? You see, he was just following after God. So when we follow Jesus, we're following after God. Who are we following? What are we following? You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that you can follow. I like all this new terminology, whether we like you on Facebook or not. Are you a follower on Facebook? Are you a this or a that or a whatever? I don't have the privilege of doing any of that stuff, which is fine with me. A lot of it turns into a bunch of gossip. So, but some people think all that stuff on everything on the internet is true. I've run into folks like that. That's just like they think every weatherman speaks the truth. They only speak in what they think, and that ain't necessarily the truth. Just look at the rainfall we got over the last few days, huh? All them compounded inches, and it turns out to a few drops. I tell people all the time, I got an 18-inch rain. It was 18 inches between every drop. Yeah. So he was in the temple, and he astonished them with the questions he had. He astonished them with the information that he had for them. At 12 years old. But you see, there was an urgency that he get the message out. It was an urgency that he make an impact upon other people. He was following God, doing what God wanted him to do. Now, most of us in here are not 12 years old. Although sometimes we might act like it. But at 12 years old, Jesus was conversing with the temple teachers and astonishing them at what he had to say and the questions that he would ask them. Amazing. Verse 50 says that Mary and Joseph did not understand his statement. That's Luke 2, verse 50. He said, did not understand his statement, but because at that time, they didn't even think that way. They didn't even understand that way. You know, after the longevity of time, sometimes memories fade and things until they're brought back up, and all of a sudden you're refreshed over it. But it said they didn't understand his statement. But you know something? We've had several thousand years to get a hold of this for you to get to the point where you are today. We should understand being about the Father's business. We should understand that. If we don't, then we need to get into this book. We need to gather up all the elders of this church and have a good conversation and start figuring out what is the Father's business. To be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be about the Father's business, just as Jesus was. In Luke 4:1, Jesus led by example when he was tested. Y'all like tests? Anybody going to school? You like tests? You know? No. I especially don't like my patients tested because I fail every time. Don't test my patients, okay? But he was the ultimate example of how to pass a test. It gave him an awesome testimony that people still read about today. It says, he led by example when he was tested. First, he was filled with Holy Spirit. There you go. He was filled with Holy Spirit. Think about that. The first part of passing the test is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the second part of that test, it says he was led by the Spirit. Where did he lead him? Into a really bad place. Can I tell you that not everything you do for God is going to be pleasant? That it's going to be risky? That it may be uncomfortable? It may be inconvenient? But that don't keep him from calling you. You read it over there in 1 Peter 2:21. For this you were called, that he suffered. The only way you're going to pass that test is be filled with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you what, mortal man, this flesh, it don't like being uncomfortable. Y'all like air conditioning in here? How would you like the hot muggies of about 75 or 80 degrees with no windows open? That'd be a bad deal, wouldn't it? I like air conditioning, actually. Although I get outside and sweat all the time. But when I'm sweating, I don't want a bunch of coal. But in a building, it sure is nice. Well, I'm going to tell you what, suffering for God is not doing without air conditioning. Suffering for God is when people do bad things to you because you did good. That shows them that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He set the example. All we got to do is follow. He sets the example for each and every one of us. All we got to do is make ourselves available. You know how he defeated the enemy? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. The words in red will always confound the devil. The words in red will always lead you if you are following. You could take all the words in red and just read them, and I'm going to tell you what, you would still not know everything that there was about Jesus every time that you read those words, because there is so much there. No matter how much I know, there's always more. You think about it. I had pinned this down. I got a hold to this. And the next time I can read the same scripture and see something else. It's like, wow, God, you are so amazing. Just amazing. I don't know, y'all might not think about him like that, but I do. He amazes me at things he says to me sometimes. He says, me? And then sometimes, you ever heard that? Maybe he says, now, Tom, you ever heard that tone of voice? I want you to listen to me. Can I tell you that I listen? I've learned to listen. Because there have been times that I didn't. But see, you cannot not listen and be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to listen to him. It is written. It is written. He tells us plain, it is written. It is written. So do something with what you have been given. You see, James 4:7 tells us to submit to God, resist the enemy, resist the devil, and he will flee. But you see, there are people, they forget those first two or three words, submit to God. And they just want to resist the enemy and he shall flee. Because you see, submitting to God means you got to do what he wants you to do, not what you want to do. Besides that, it's hard to resist the enemy resist the devil unless you submit to God. Because this flesh is weak, folks. At best, it's weak. But the Spirit living within you will make you strong. It'll make you tough. It'll make you endure. It'll make you be committed. He'll be within you for the strength that you need for that moment. I'm telling you, there's way more to the Word of God than sometimes that we grasp or we can get a hold of. And like I said, I'm just going to touch the top of it. Be submitted to God and know what is written. Know what is written. Digested what is written. Teaching what is written. That's the only way you're going to make it. Otherwise, you'll faint away when the test comes. When the test comes, I'm going to tell you what, it separates the believer from the unbeliever right quick. Luke 4:31 says, they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with power and authority. He took command over unclean demons in a man's life. And they were astonished at the power that he had. He talked to that demon. That demon said, I know who you are. And Jesus said, don't you be telling nobody who I am. You come out right now. And the demon had to come out. Can I tell you that he set the example for us to speak the word? We speak the word. You know, that unclean demon or unclean spirits, you could take that as an unsaved person. Because they have a mind that is contrary to the things of God. You know, we read unclean spirit or an unclean demon, you know, like somebody writhing around and thrashing on the floor. And not necessarily. That's people having a contrary mind to the things of God. At enmity with Him. At a war with Him. It could be that unsaved person that we could go to, and the Word of God coming from your mouth leads them into the presence of God, into the salvation of God. You see, we need to all be leaders for those who do not know. We need to be those leaders, every one of us. See, we're all ministers of the gospel. But you can't give away what you do not possess. If you don't have this hidden in your heart, you can't give it away. You got to get it in you. And then you can give it away. Then you'll make a difference on other people's lives. He made an example of leadership in Luke 4:43. He led by example, preaching everywhere, witnessing everywhere, telling people about the way to go everywhere. Do we? Or do we try to pick a convenient time? A convenient place. Oh, well, you know, the weather's got to be just right, or the food's got to be just right, or... No, man, I'm going to tell you something. The Scripture says, today is the day, now is the time, you might not have another minute. See, we have to see the urgency of that. We have to see that urgency. You know, it's like I told you, I think it was last week, I told you, there ain't no promise to us to even make it to the parking lot. Tell somebody about Jesus. So he led by example, preaching everywhere. He said, for this purpose he had been sent. Do you know your purpose? Do you know your purpose that God has placed on your heart, on your life? Can I tell you that the things that you work in with God and for God and about God can change? You're still in God, but those purposes change. You know, you move from one season to another. Move from one time span to another. You know, when I got saved, I was doing good just to read the Bible all the time. I worked all the time, read the Bible all the time. That was a good combination. I read the Bible when I was at work, when I take a lunch break. But you see, I wanted him. I wanted him so bad. I wanted more of him than that day that I met him on that roof. I wanted all that I could get. And to follow somebody, you need to know them. You need to know who they are, what they do, how they think. Because you see, a good helper always brings that tool just in time for that craftsman to use it. He needs to know what comes next and have it there before the craftsman asks for it. You see, that's the way we need to be about Jesus, because he'll set things up for you if you will allow him, if he can trust you to do what you need to do. He'll set them up. I guarantee you will. If you hadn't had that happen to you, you need to ask him about it, because he'll set it up. So, are you doing something about the purpose? Are you doing something with the purpose? Are you helping those with an unclean spirit? Are you paying attention? Are you passionate about it? You know, Jesus was passionate about everything. He was the greatest teacher on passion and compassion. Think about it. Think of all the times that he had compassion upon the people. You can read it right there in the Word. I'm amazed. He was always full of compassion. You see, there are plenty of lost folks around to practice on. I used to tell our small group all the time, I said, so what, you don't know every little word of every little scripture? Just talk to them. They don't know what the Word of God says anyway. Just talk to them. And God will give you the words. If you are willing, he will put them in your mouth and you'll make a difference in some people's lives. But if you're not following him, he can't give you the words. He will help you. I promise you, if you're sincere about it, God will go all out to help you. He already went all out by sending his son, okay? But he'll still go all out to help you win some more. He'll do that. I know he will. He's a good God. He's a good God. And there are plenty of lost folks out there. You know, don't worry about stepping in somebody else's territory. Just go start talking to them. You're going to find out if they know Jesus or not, or if they just know about him. Because iron sharpens iron. And when the sparks start to fly, you know you got a hold of a live one, not a dead one. You think about it. See, there's a bunch of us, we can stand around the room and start talking about God's Word, and man, I'm telling you, I can just see the sparks flying. We're just sharpening each other off of it. But if you're hitting something that's dull, there ain't no sparks. Ain't no sparks. I love seeing the sparks fly. I love it. How about Luke 6:27? Well, I'll be a few more minutes. It's right at 12. Luke 6:27, 28, 35. Jesus led by example in his love of the unlovable, especially those who hate you and curse you and do you wrong. What did he say? Love your enemies. That sounds like an easy thing to do, don't it? Do good to those who hate you. Woo, that ought to be real easy. No, not for the flesh. Not for the flesh it isn't, but for the spirit it is. For the spirit, he ain't looking at them or their words. He's looking at the possibility of a soul being saved. A soul being saved overrides all the other things that the spirit sees. You think about that. That's the way God saw us. He didn't see us as something impossible. He saw us as something possible working for him. You think about it. Man, we serve such a good God. He is so awesome in the way that he sets things up. You see, the only kind of killing that you can do is kill them with kindness. That's legal murder, by the way. As a Christian, you can kill them with kindness. It says, heap coals kindness upon them. However your translation says it, kill them with kindness. That's kind of paraphrased a little bit. But y'all get the gist of it. You understand what I'm saying. In fact, the best way to get rid of your enemy is win him to Jesus. Then he ain't your enemy no more. He's your brother or she's your sister. Think about it. That's the best way to get rid of your enemy is win them to Jesus. And the only way that you can get even, y'all like getting even? I had a lady who used to work in our loan department at a home builder that I worked for. And she'd say, "You make me mad, you'll never know it, but I get even." And she could get even terribly, horribly bad. See, she didn't have to do nothing to you right then. She would study on it to make it the hardest on you. But the way that we get even as Christians is, because of God, is to forgive them. And guess what? That releases them, and it definitely releases you. All you got to do is walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. And then you can do that. That's how Jesus overcame the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness. Even in a bad situation, God will still override you doing wrong. He will help you. He will help you. You see, Jesus will show you how to do all things, and then he will help you to do them. See, he ain't going to leave us floundering out there trying to figure out what to do or how to do it. He'll show us. First he tells us, and then he shows us. He's a real good leader, real good leader. He don't leave us. You see, Jesus led by example in forgiveness. Just look at you and me. Think about it. He led by example through us. I'm the best example that I know of. Because I know me. I know what I used to be. I know how God touched my life. But the ultimate example is Luke 7. Not the ultimate example, but another true example is Luke 7:36. True repentance and true worship of the woman of the city that came in to a house where Jesus was meeting with folks. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe his feet with her hair and kissed his feet with her lips and anointed his feet with fragrant oil as she paid honor to him. True repentance, true worship. You see, those who follow Jesus Christ will truly repent and truly worship. They will truly love him for who he is. You see, that is the ultimate repentance, worship, and love. How far will you go to show Jesus how much you love him? How far will you go? See, you may not walk on the same path that I'm walking on. So I can't answer for you. Only you can answer that. Because you will know, because you and God can talk about it, how far you will go. How much will you love him? Jesus spoke a word of rebuke to Peter as he looked at the woman and said, "Your sins are forgiven and your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Because you see, he had to rebuke Peter. You can read it there in those scriptures. I'm not going to go through them. He had to rebuke him because they were coming against this woman who had come in to do this good thing to Jesus. They just didn't understand what she was doing. You see, and then there was the ultimate example of forgiveness in Luke 23:34. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Could you do that to somebody who's killing you? Nails through your hands, through your feet, a spear in your side, a crown of thorns thrust down on your head? Could you look down upon that crowd and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They are ignorant to the fact of what they're doing, Lord." Sometimes I think we need to go back and reread those scriptures that led up to and including the crucifixion. We see just how bad that Jesus was treated. Can I tell you that as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, led by His example, you face those same kinds of persecutions. Now, they might not crucify you on a cross, but they may crucify you other ways. But can you turn to them and turn to God and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm telling you, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, being full of the Spirit is the only way that you can make it through to follow Jesus Christ. It's the only way. There's no doubt about it, because I'm going to tell you what, our flesh, like I said, is weak at best, and we're going to fall no matter what. Why don't you play me that little song there, brother? Regardless of the risk, regardless of the consequence, will we follow Him? Whatever it is. Regardless of the risk or consequence, will we follow Him? Will you follow Him all the way? Where He leads you, will you follow? Can you do that? See, if you hear Him calling you, you need to come. Because I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God is always true, and it says, lest the Spirit call you, lest the Father call you, you will not come. And those who reject Him are going to get just what they don't want. They just don't understand it. But I'm telling you, you can't go wrong by accepting Him, by following Him, by doing exactly what He asked you to do when you asked Him to do. Listen, each and every one of us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to step out. Sometimes we just need to renew what we're doing. Sometimes we just need to rethink what we're doing. And we need to let Holy Spirit help us rethink that. Because one day He is coming, church. He's coming. I promise you. He don't tell no lies. He's coming. Be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He's waiting on us. He's just waiting on us. He's already done His part. Will we do ours? Because you see, true followers follow Him no matter what, no matter when, no matter how. Let's reach out and touch Him today. We're going to have a word of prayer. Let's bow our hearts. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You reach out and touch each and every one of us, Lord. That God, that You would enter in, Lord, and help us, Lord, to enter into that holy of holies with You. That our hearts, Lord, are set on fire for You, Lord. Maybe a fire that no one can see burning within us, Lord, but they'll see that fire, Lord, that's burning outside of us. As we reach out and touch other people's lives, Lord, we're going to show this world who we follow. And then we're going to tell them why we follow You, Lord. And then we're going to be committed, Lord, to them to help them through that learning process to be able to hear You and listen to You and work for You. I thank You, Father, for it. I thank You, Lord, for leading us, Lord, through Your Word, leading us, Lord, through all of the Scripture, Lord. If we'll just open the ears of our spirit and the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we may have, Lord, everything that You want for each and every one of us. I ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, for You're the one, Lord, that we can always turn to, Lord, in a time of trouble. When we need You, Lord, You are always there. And Father, I just give You all the praise. I give You glory, and I give You honor for it. In Jesus' name.